Hello and welcome to Rock and Roll, the interview series in which we talk to our colleagues about their roles and lives in the world of testing. My name is Stephen Knowles and we've got a great conversation lined up for you today. At Rock, we are about to launch our latest Academy Apprenticeship Initiative, which is tailored towards creating an ideal opportunity for ex-forces or return to workers. What's really good about this course is that no previous experience or associated qualifications are needed, as enrolling is based on professional qualities such as problem solving, analytical abilities, as well as our strong ethical values. So who better to join us today than our very own Matthew Ridioff-Boylan, who has an ex-forces background and is one of Rock's current test managers. Matthew, would you like us to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about how you've ended up at Rock?
Yes, certainly. Thank you, Stephen. As mentioned then, my name is Matthew Ridioff-Boylan. I'm one of the test managers at Rock at the moment. I did serve in the armed forces. I served just over 10 years in the British Army as an Army Air Corps soldier, as well as a couple of years as a reservist with the Mercians as an infantryman. I, as mentioned, as a regular, I served in the Army Air Corps. I was started off as ground crew and as a signaller working with Lynx helicopters and Apache helicopters in both the UK and Northern Ireland. One of the things that I've found working with such technical aircraft and things like that was that I was exposed to a lot of technology. I ended up actually working as the Chief Aerial Surveillance Officer actually out in Northern Ireland, and that was for both Northern Ireland and mainland Britain. So I did a lot of aerial surveillance with those guys. When I left the armed forces back in 2006, I've then made the leap into Civvy Street, got trained up on my resettlement, and ended up working and moving into IT, which is where I am now, and I've been ever since 2006.
Wow, that's an interesting background, and it's great to see people who've come from your background to be able to get into the world of testing in, because you've got some fantastic experiences that are relevant to kind of the type of work that we do.
Yep.
Can I ask you why you decided to move into a career in software testing?
I think software testing was a great match for me in my own personal views, and the way that I work is very much something that's driven by attention to detail, having tenacity, and being able to communicate a lot with others. I know, but a lot of people look at IT and go, yeah, why would I want to work with people when I can work in IT? But certainly in testing, and it's one of the great things, is you have to communicate across a lot of different areas, a lot of different people, a lot of different mindsets, all different management levels as well. And it's that sort of thing and the challenges associated with it that really are a great driver in testing. And certainly for me as a test manager, having come literally in one of the military term, come through the ranks from being a very low level junior tester, knowing nothing about testing whatsoever, and then working my way up and getting more and more experience over the years, and leading teams of people and some really fantastic teams and some really challenging environments across the industry and across all sorts of different sectors within the industry as well.
Okay, great. And if you don't mind me asking, I always get the feeling that a military background would be very disciplined and be certain life skills that you learn. Are there any of them that you feel really lent themselves well to a testing function?
Yeah, absolutely. It's being able to, when you think it couldn't get any worse within testing and within software development, it probably will get worse. But it's been able to actually have that self-discipline to take a step back, to be able to think on your feet and be able to work on your own a lot of the time. You are able to actually flag things up, and it's just able to know that from the most junior person in the team right all the way to the top, if that most junior person in the team sits there and goes, I don't think this is right, you pay attention to them, because as software testers, they are professional testers. And we are, it is a very much an unrecognized profession, but something that's becoming more and more relevant within the software industry. And people are seeing the value in testing a lot more nowadays. Back into the early 2000s and late 90s, software testing was very much in its infancy. But now the complexity of software and the reliance on software across so many sectors in industry and across the world, it's seen that, you know, good software is produced by good testers. It's not just all about, you know, can this company do X, Y, Z? It is very much quality. It's the whole, if you're not getting the quality, you're just going to exit that business straight away.
Okay, I love that answer, actually, because it kind of leads me on to something I'm going to talk about a little bit later about quality, but great stuff. So what attracted you to joining Rock?
To joining Rock, it's one of the, I've worked as a consultant through other consultancies within the industry and within the Northwest area, in the UK as a general, actually. And Rock, I always came across people from Rock and the reputation that Rock has. And it's incredible. I sort of looked at it, and when I saw the opportunities to come to Rock, I thought, these are the people that I want to work with. But it, not only did Rock have a really good, stringent process to you have to go through just to get a job there as a tester, but also the investment in the people there, and the way that the actual business works. Rock's not just a money-making machine for somebody who likes to, who owns a consultancy. It's a family, and it's a real kind of an experience, and it's that investment with the people within the actual business. Like for me as a test manager, I'd gone into businesses before, and they just look at me as a test manager and go, "It's the top of the tree, mate. You can't really go much further. It's tough. You know, we're not going to invest in you." But Rock, when I came to Rock as a business, speaking to my line manager, he immediately turned around and went, "Okay, you're not at the top of your tree. You, there is more of a career path." And it's that kind of investment, that forethought that people have within the business, and that, you know, they know that it's the more they put into people, the more they'll get out of them, which is a real bonus for me. Yeah,
that's wonderful feedback. Sarah will be delighted to hear you say that, because I know we place a really big emphasis on helping our people develop, and we do want it to become a testing family and a testing community. So that's great. Okay, moving on to kind of your day to day. What does a day in the life look like for Matthew, and what would you say your biggest challenges are at the moment?
So, working within the business as a consultant, no two days are ever the same. They're always offering their own unique challenges literally every day. There are always the same kind of general task you'll do. You'll have to communicate, you'll have to have team meetings, and you have to have, you know, speak to people. I wouldn't say these are mundane things, but certainly even at that, you know, team meetings have their own variances. You're working with such a group of varied individuals, be it either Rock employees, outside contractors, permanent staff with the clients that you're actually working for. So there's a lot of different nuances with working with the different personalities. And even at that, working with the different businesses, no two businesses are ever the same, I've found. A lot of them have similar issues. And as consultants, we get dropped into businesses that have issues, which is one of the great things, like working as a consultant. It's almost like working as a paratrooper. You get dropped into the bad places and have to work it out. Whereas a consultant, you get dropped into the businesses which are having a real problem, and they look at you and go, "We need help. You're here to help us. What can we do?" And you have to learn about what they do. And it's never a one-size-fits-all solution. I've seen consultancies and other businesses turn up to, you know, companies turn up and go, "Right, we have a one-size-fits-all framework solution which we're going to drop into you. And if it doesn't fit, well, we'll make you fit our solution." Whereas we don't do that. We go into a business and say, "What are your issues? What can we do to help you resolve your issues?" And then come up with those bespoke solutions, something that fits them, whether it's the budget, whether it's the level of actual technical capabilities the business has got, or whether it's just the what the business want. If a business goes, "I don't want to have to do things like this," we know that's a better way, but this is how we've always done it, and this is the traditional way for doing it within our industry. Okay, and it is just working with a business and meeting their own needs.
That's a fantastic answer. You know, you've covered people, and you've covered already our business development function just in this one call. So Matthew, absolutely great answers. You've just come to the end of one project and you're starting a new one. What would you say is the biggest learning you've taken out of that previous one that you can then take into your next role?
I think the needs and the requirements for reporting. Some businesses, you know, they're happy to just get stuff as a very, very general kind of. As long as at end of every week we know that things are moving in the right direction, it's fine. But other businesses, because of their own internal challenges and their own internal politics, the reporting they needed was really, really intense and really bespoke. And they needed to know literally on a day-to-day basis exactly what happened, what was going on, and how that was going to affect the project timeline overall. And the two areas of the project which I worked on, which was a multiple faceted project. And the two areas that I worked with the guys on were basically key to this entire program, and it was essential for us to make sure that those two areas worked really well for the entire program. Otherwise the program just became a big, very expensive white elephant, and it was being able to move that forward. And then when we're exiting the actual business as well, ensure that everything was handed over in a manner that the business still had that benefit from all the lessons we'd learned in the first place, and ensuring that all the changes were made over the past number of years of being on that project still carry forward. And it was a big enabler for the business, essentially.
Okay. And you know, well, that's great that you've taken some learnings from what you've done previously. And like you say, reporting is key, but effective reporting is good, because you've got to get the right quality of data. Bringing it back to our conversation around the reason why we're doing this podcast today and the Academy apprenticeship, we really want to focus on military and tech returners, because we do see that that's an untapped market of talent. Yep. So when you came out of the forces, what would you say was the hardest part of finding a career and that transition into testing?
I think one of the biggest things was knowing what you'd like to do. I know certainly now, having, to want of a better word, landed on my feet coming into software testing, I found that certainly for someone like myself who has a high level of tenacity, I'm very much a got massive attention to detail, being an ex-soldier, you know, attention to detail is absolutely drilled into you from day one. Working in aviation, it was one of the biggest things was attention to detail, because if you miss those little details working in with helicopters, which you know, if you ever speak to anybody who works in aviation, they'll always say if you miss one plug, that one thing can kill you. And it was that kind of that, having that mindset and that attitude, being able to apply that into in this case, software testing, that those little ones and zeros, those little, you know, the minor things do add up and can end up in a disaster for an entire business, which you don't want. And it's making sure that you've got that, both the professional and personal investment into everything. You know, I throw myself 100% into every single project that I deal with and every single business that I deal with. And it's always good to get that kind of feedback from business as well, that the appreciation they feel of the amount of effort, the amount of work we put in. And it's getting that from the team as well, getting those teams to work together really well. That's something that is just fantastic and really pays back for me. From coming out of the army and sort of realizing how to work in Civvy Street, it's the approach you have to take working with civilians to working with military is completely different. It's like polar opposites. And that's one of the big struggles that a lot of people do find. Like for me, I get told that I use a lot of rather risque blue kind of language sometimes, which I'm trying to restrain myself from doing throughout this podcast. But certainly, yeah, it's knowing how to approach people, and it's knowing what sort of level you can talk at and who you're speaking to, who your audience is effectively. And it's always having that consciousness in the back of your mind, exactly who your audience is. People in the military will know that you can't go around and, you know, speak to a brigadier general in the same way you'd speak to a Tom. It's just one of those things. You can't, you know, the whole, you know, as we've seen recently with the Queen dying, I guarantee you everybody there was very respectful, and it's been able to carry that same level of respect over from the military life into a civilian life as well.
Wow.
Also, that, some great
you know, that's, you know what? Thank you for sharing that. That's really interesting because it just shows the way you do have to adapt your styles and your kind of communication capability within a number of different roles, because I'm sure it's very different in the military when lives are at stake rather than, you know, some testing software. But the same principles kind of apply, you know, and I love the fact that you talked about attention to detail. So just before we move on from that, well, what are the fun things that you've been able to get involved with at ROC? So we've talked about the role itself, but what are the fun things that you've been able to do since you've been here?
I'd say it's a lot of the fun things around the people in the business. We had a weekend away, a big manor house sort of thing down in Shropshire a couple mm-hmm. of months back, which was fantastic. It's just great fun to get everyone together and to get to know the people. Now, I work 100% remote at ROC, and I can actually go up to the office, and I do as regularly as I can go to the office and get to see people, because there's nothing more, you know, there's nothing better than actually being able to rub shoulders with the guys you work with and not just talk to people on a conference call or anything like that. And actually, yeah, going and, you know, shaking people's hand, having a bit of a giggle, seeing people outside of, you know, their normal straight lace kind of, I'm on a call and I'm with a client and I've got to be, I've got to behave. And it is just, especially the weekend we had away, everybody had a couple of beers. I was very restrained in my drinking because you're ex-forces, you got to be, not everybody wants to run around the field naked. So I was quite restrained in that sort of respect. But it's that whole get together, team building, having a great team spirit. And that's the sort of thing that runs through ROC all the time anyway, with that great family and team spirit.
Yeah, I agree with you. The social weekend that we had was really good because it wasn't work focused. It was all about building relationships with people. And we had some fun. I certainly enjoyed it too. Coming to the end of a podcast, I just want to ask you, what's the one piece of advice you'd give to anybody from either Next Forces or tech returners or somebody looking to change a career in software testing? What encouragement could you give them to do that and potentially join ROC as an organization?
I'd say do it. The one thing that people always sit there and go, what if, what happens? You know, you're not going to lose anything by just doing it and just giving it a go. Taking that step, making that leap. One of the great things about ROC is we are one big family. We will support each other. And once you do get into the actual business as well, it is so worth being here. And everybody, so I've just been on a call with a technical architect, looking at the approach we're taking with an upcoming client and how we're going to do it. And one of the things he said to me was, you can call me at any point, at any time of day. I'm more than happy to help you out. And it's even with the guys that I've been working with, the people I've been working with on my last contract and last engagement, they again were like, oh, can we call you if we've got any problems or anything like that? One of the guys pinged me just this morning, and it's all helping each other out. We're not in individual silos. We're not individual islands or anything like that. We are one big family, and it's just one of those. ROC as a business is so great at supporting each other. That is a real strength within the business. Now, that is why I believe the ROC as a business will go from strength to strength. And it's just one of the best places to work.
Well, that's amazing advice, Matthew. Thank you. And I really appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us today. And I really enjoy kind of listening to you as somebody who's come from that, a very different background and not knowing kind of what career was open to them, to see you establishing yourself and now having a highly successful career in something, as technical and as challenging as software engineering is, it's encouraging for anybody else who's considering it. So thanks for sharing your experiences with us today.
Happy day.
As always, I'm really grateful for people listening to ROC and Roll. Hopefully we've shared some useful insights into the world of ROC. And don't forget to subscribe to our next podcast so you don't miss out on future episodes of Rock and Roll. We will see you soon, but before I go, I'd just like to say thank you to Matthew for giving us his time today.
No worries, thank you very much.
And we hope you'll listen to our next podcast, which is due out soon. Don't forget, if you need to find out more information about our Academy apprenticeship, don't forget to log on to our homepage, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.